20 states, including Wisconsin, filed a lawsuit earlier this year following Congress's removal of the tax penalty for not being insured in 2017.
The plaintiffs, led by Texas, said that with no tax penalty for the individual mandate, the rest of the law couldn't stand either because the various parts of the ACA couldn't be separated. And the judge ruled in favor of the plaintiffs. But because of the appeal process, the ACA remains in place.
Phil Rocco is an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. He's also co-author of the book Obamacare Wars, Federalism, State Politics, and the Affordable Care Act. Phil, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
Well, I want to hit that last point we made first. The judge made this ruling, but as of now, the Affordable Care Act is still in place, right?
That's right. So California and several other intervener states have appealed the ruling. And while that appeal is pending in the Fifth Circuit, the decision is not going to take effect. And the federal government has said that they are going to continue to enforce the law. So you can still sign up for insurance. Medicaid expansion still exists. And all of the benefits sort of created by the Medicare portion of the ACA still exists. So the law is still the law of the land.
Now, it's kind of a complicated constitutional argument. The Supreme Court had upheld the individual mandate under Obamacare because of the tax part of it. They said that, okay, yes, the government can do that. Congress got rid of the penalty for the individual mandate. And it ended up being here that the judge said not just that, okay, part of Obamacare would have to go away, the Affordable Care Act, but because one part is unconstitutional, the whole thing goes. And that's a lot of parts, right?
This is a really convoluted ruling, and it's very hard to understand, and different parts of the ruling don't really jibe with one another. So the first thing that the judge did was said that the plaintiffs in the case had standing because the penalty-free mandate was unduly coercive. So effectively, once Congress zeroed out the penalty for the mandate, what happened to you if you didn't get health insurance under the ACA was you had to pay a penalty of $0. Well, the judge here said that that's unconstitutional because that's unduly coercive. At the same time, however, he says that because the penalty is now $0, it's no longer a tax. So that coercive thing, when we're talking about the substance of the law, no longer makes sense. And what I think is even more difficult to understand than that is that the judge said that when Congress zeroed out the penalty for the individual mandate back in 2017 with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that what they really intended to do was to eliminate the entire law, because he argued that that the individual mandate, everyone knew how important it was to the law. But when you go back and look at the votes that were cast on any of the repeal and replace plans, Republicans did not have anything close to the number of votes necessary to do the sort of larger repealing and replace plans. In fact, they only had the votes, less than 50, to do, or 50 exactly, to do what they did to the individual mandate. So it's a pretty convoluted ruling, and one that even anybody modestly familiar with the history of the ACA will find very, very difficult to take seriously.
Talking to Phil Rocco from Marquette University, looking at a judge in Texas ruling the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. It is still in effect. Phil, I imagine this is going to end up in the U.S. Supreme Court, but if they agreed with this judge's decision, it's a big if, what would happen here in Wisconsin? What are some of the biggest changes we would see in Wisconsin healthcare?
I mean, the biggest changes that you're going to see in Wisconsin, if the judges on the Supreme Court agreed with this particular version of the ruling, it means something not just for the people who gained coverage under the ACA. So if you gained coverage under the ACA, you purchased a plan on the individual marketplace, you won't be able to do that anymore. You won't get any subsidies to help you purchase insurance. You won't also be protected if you have a pre-existing condition. So those are the things that are pretty familiar to people. Another important thing is if you have a child who is under the age of 26, they won't be able to be on your health insurance anymore. This might be a little bit more in the weeds for folks who might take it for granted, but there's a bunch of other things that the law did that affected people who are 65 and older. So, for instance, the assistance for people who are on Medicare to pay for prescription drugs, that sort of closing the Part D donut hole, as it's called, that'll also be gone. And it's important to remember that health insurance is a significant, or health care generally is a significant part of the entire country's economy, including the economy of Wisconsin. And this law being repealed will transform how that works. And it's pretty difficult to find a historical analog to where the Supreme Court has repealed something that, in a way that sort of unstructured how a significant portion of our economy works.
Now, you'd reacted to this ruling on Twitter, Phil, and to the long effort to repeal or end the Affordable Care Act by one means or another. You say there's a fundamental message here about social policy in the United States. What is that?
Well, I think the fundamental message about social policy is, you know, the ACA isn't perfect, right? There are still a lot of problems with the law. For a lot of folks, they were really helped by the ACA, and for other folks, they're still paying probably unaffordable costs to receive health care. But what this ruling signifies is that we're not really having a debate over the substance of the ACA. We're having a debate over a pretty laughable interpretation of the constitutionality of the law. And I think it's important to think about, why are we having that debate? And why has the sort of Obamacare wars, as the title of our book suggests, why have they not ended? And I think it's important to think about this here, which is that the Affordable Care Act is not an especially radical policy. It leaves most of the structure of our health insurance, healthcare system in place, and provide some wedges to allow individuals who weren't able to get care to get it. But what Republicans' opposition to the law, I think, suggests is not the opposition to the specifics or the details of what the law does, which are, you know, again, pretty moderate and were drawn from a plan that was actually a bipartisan plan in Massachusetts. Their opposition to the law, I think all of these debates over it suggest, is an opposition to what the law does to the sort of cognitive understanding of what the government's role in healthcare should be. When you look at public opinion, most people think that it's important that the government, including the federal government, protect people who have pre-existing conditions. Once that exists in the public mind, then the federal government could be on the hook for a great deal more involvement in the healthcare system, and for the primary donors in the Republican Party, who are really interested in lowering taxes on the sort of richest Americans, that is not a policy futurescape that they are particularly interested in entertaining. And so the opposition, I think you're seeing here, is sort of trying to keep the focus on the legitimacy of the law and trying to keep Democrats away from actually proposing reforms to try to change it or fix it, Medicare for all, or even something much more modest that would sort of tinker around the edges with the ACA. The idea is to keep the focus on the legitimacy of the law.
We'll leave it there for now. Phil, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks.
That's Phil Rocco, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. He's co-author of the book Obamacare Wars, Federalism, State Politics, and the Affordable Care Act. He joined us today to dig into the continued fight over the future of health coverage in the United States after a judge ruled that the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional.